Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 11th, 2020, and we are reading in the Big Book on page 16, the last three paragraphs of the chapter. Today's readers are Laura R. reading the 12 steps, Naomi B. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Jody E., Robin P., and Sherry M. The share IDs for the last two meetings. Yesterday, Tuesday, November 10th, the 10 a.m. meeting, the code is 15,749. Or 15749. And the share ID for this morning's November 11th, 7 a.m. meeting is 15,758 or 15758. The newcomer greeter today is Christina L., and giving announcements is Leslie M. And recording the meeting for us is Elaine B. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura R. Naomi B., would you please read the 12 traditions?
I'm here, Kathy. Thank you, my friend. The 12 to hide. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trust and service. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting others, other groups, or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is our spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 16, the first full paragraph. And I will ask Jody E. to get us started. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. You know, I have to say that it really is thanks to this meeting, A Vision for You, that I feel this is true for me. I yearned for this for years, in a way. And I had it to some extent in my little inner group here in Monterey, California. But I feel it more now as a result of the more widespread recovery that we have in this meeting. And sure enough, Bill W. Ebby's simple talk in Bill W.'s kitchen has multiplied itself in the widening circle and to include this meeting and many, many more, so that we do have peace on earth and goodwill towards each other. Let's hope it just keeps widening out and out from there, which I feel that it is in my life. My recovery in OA has enabled me to help other compulsive overeaters, which I do on a daily basis. But I also see it affecting other areas of my life. I can see my recovery, my serenity, my sanity being appreciated by other people in other affairs in my life. And we need that today, especially today in our world. And I'm just so very, very grateful. An alcoholic in his cups is a very unlovely creature indeed. And I was certainly also. And there are tragedies in our world, many tragedies, but there's also much recovery and happiness and progress. We are not perfect, but we are progressing. If you are struggling, whether it be as a newcomer or as an old timer, know that if you work these steps as if your life depends on it, because it does, if you are willing to be entirely abstinent and to face your issues head on, you too can join us on this road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.
Thank you, Jody, so much for getting us started this morning. I am going to invite names of people who would like to share, and I want to remind you, although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in this meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared on this meeting on Monday or Tuesday, please feel free to give me your name. Thank you.
Darian K.
Bruce.
Darian K.
Bruce
Margo.
E.
Bruce E. Margo.
Margo.
Margo what?
B is B.
B, okay.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Christina L.
Yeah.
Christina, which Christina?
L.
L. Okay, great. And I can take one more.
Aaliyah S.
Aaliyah S. Thank you all. So I have Darian K., Bruce E., Margo B., Bonnie D., Christina L., and Aaliyah S. Darian, please get us started.
Oh, good morning, Kathy. This is Darian Kay in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm very grateful to be on the line with all of you this morning and able to share and claim my seat. It's just so important that I be a part of so that I can, you know, they say stick with the winners and stay in the center of the circle and just, yeah, I can't stay on the outside. I heard someone say at a meeting, get picked off if you stay on the outside. You got to stay in the middle. And so this is just a lovely
development, you know, of the program, you know, back then. It's just amazing. And I still get blown away that, you know, sometimes, and I'll press star zero, which you can do on this meeting and the 7 o'clock meeting, and you can see how many people are on the line with us. And there's, I know in the morning, at 7 in the morning, there's over 400 people on the line with us. That's just blows my mind. And then we know that, you know, the member phone list is so vast, over 7,000 people. So, and that's just our little community, right? So amazing how things have grown and flourished for our, you know, OA program. And I'm so grateful to just be a part of it and to know that there's a solution for me each and every day, as long as I ask for help and remember that I'm not the one in charge. And, you know, to have that faith, like it says, always faith has to be 24 hours a day in us, right, through us, or we'll perish. And I really believe that. I have to really believe that faith is so important for me to have today. And it makes me neutral with the food, and it also helps me, obviously, with my relationships with me, my higher power, and the other people around me. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you for listening, and I appreciate everyone out there. I pass.
Thanks so much, Darian K. Bruce E., please share with us. Press star one, Bruce, to unmute.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, I had to do that. Press it, star one. Thank you. And thanks, everybody on the line. Thanks to our moderator, Bruce E., recovered in Fort Myers, Florida area. And, okay, these paragraphs. The one word that I'm looking at here is strenuous, comic, and tragic, but strenuous. Okay, our struggles with them are strenuous. They are strenuous, you know. There's some strenuous work to be done here with helping other people. And my ego and my arrogance and my judging seem to always get in the way. And I have to keep pushing them out of the way, helping somebody. And that's strenuous. Yeah. Poor chap committed suicide in my home. Actually took him in his home, killed himself in his home. But, you know, how many people have I seen, have I run into and known in this program since I've been in it that ate themselves to death? You know, they didn't have to go and, you know, attach up a hose to the, you know, all this kind of stuff, the car exhaust and all that. They just go ahead and eat themselves to death in the program. And I know a guy that's, well, anyway, won't go into that, could not or would not see our way of life. So our way of life is to work this program. And it goes on to talk about that down here where it says faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. We got a tremendous storm going on here. I don't know if you can hear that wind. Huge storm. Faith has to work 24 hours a day. So that means that for me, I got to work on this thing all the time. I can't give up, you know, at 3 in the morning, wake up and not work on this thing. You know, get up and go to the refrigerator. I gotta work on this all night, all day. I'm working. But this simple, I like this about this, my friend, each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen. So, you know, looking back on that, it was such a kind of a, looking back on it, serene, comfortable situation where, you know, here's Ebby all fresh skinned and clean and, you know, starry-eyed, looking at Bill, who's got red eyes and glassy eyes, and he's just giving them a simple talk. He's not going to anything real complicated. He's telling them a story. You know, here's how I got sober. Here's how I got abstinent. And here's how I did it. You know, here's I did this, I did this, I got on the meeting, I got a sponsor, I worked the steps, you know. That's a simple little talk. And it radiated itself way beyond that little kitchen that they were sitting in. And, yeah, so great paragraphs, great reading. Thank you, everybody. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Margo B., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Margo. I'm a compulsive overeater. Good to claim my seat. Thank you, everybody, for your service. Thank you for everybody in the comments around the room. I just wanted to claim my seat and say I'm feeling a tremendous amount of grief and sadness today. And the feelings are really coming up, and I know that. And immediately I want to run to the food, and I know the answer is not in the food. The answer is in my higher power, who I choose to call God. And I just need to keep trudging. I once had a sponsor who used to say, I don't want to trudge, I just want to skip along. And I think the evolution for me, I just trust, you know, trust and surrender. But it's almost like this addiction to this misery of life, you know. It's just, I don't know. I just can't keep running to the food, you know. I don't want to run to the food. And it's a day at a time, a second at a time, a minute at a time. You know, I have my food plan. You know, I have my food sponsor. And it's, you know, and I just got to keep it that simple, you know. The answer is not in the food. And I just wanted to claim my seat and say that. I have a lot of emotions coming up, a lot of sadness. And the food is just not going to make me feel better. It's almost like I want to pick it up to hurt myself, like use it as a weapon, you know. And I know there's more underlying stuff under that. So more will be revealed. And that's it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Margo B. Bonnie B., please share with us.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for moderating, and thank you for everyone that's on the line and making this possible. This is my first time speaking at this meeting, and I just consider it a privilege and a gift. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, recovering, not recovered yet, but recovering, and just grateful that I'm on this path. The sentences that jumped out to me were the first one: an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And so I looked the word creature up because I tend to do that, and the definition for creature is a being of anomalous or uncertain aspect of nature. And so I wondered, what does the word anomalous mean? And that word means inconsistent with or deviating from what is usual, normal, or expected. And that describes me exactly. When I'm in the food, I am an unlovely creature. I'm deviating from what is considered normal, what would be normal for me, or expected or usual, inconsistent with what people would know of me. I think about my husband, especially, you know, when I would go into the food, I would isolate. I would be someone that he would not know who I was. I would truly be unusual to him at that stage in my life or during those periods. And so this definition is very, it's very revealing to me, because that is what happens to me when I go into the food, or when I went into the food. And in the next sentence, the next paragraph, where it says, there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. The fun for me is when I learn how to not run the show. For me, the greatest gift with this program is to be able to lay it down in front of other people who have had success, and then follow what they tell me to do and not have to run the show. And when I don't have to run the show, my plate is not as full as it used to be, and then the joy of life comes back. And so I just appreciate you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. Christina L., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Christina L., a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And I am really grateful for that we are reading these three paragraphs together, because what's coming up for me is a really huge lesson that I learned last year. And, you know, an alcoholic, me being a compulsive overeater in my bags and boxes is an unlovely creature. But what I have learned is that I don't even have to be in the food to be an unlovely creature. You know, my defects can be running wild. And if left untreated, you know, I become really, really unlovely. And not only that, the experience that I'm remembering back on, there's been a couple of pictures that I've come across in the last few days that have really brought the memory to me of last year, just about this time. You know, November 15th was when I flew to Newark, New Jersey for our convention. And, you know, it was a really fun time. And me, this word down here in the last paragraph, utopia, you know, a perfect world, perfection, any condition, place, or situation of social or political perfection. I realized that I have held this belief since coming into program that when I'm surrounded by people in 12-step recovery programs, that we're all perfect, that I'm perfect, that when I get recovered, I'm going to be perfect. And that's not the case. That was the lesson that I learned, that, you know, just because I was with all of my family in Newark, that, you know, I was still experiencing fear. I was still experiencing selfishness and whatever else that was coming up. You know, my isms were certainly coming up. And I didn't do a 10th step. I didn't do 10 steps for those things coming up. And, you know, I just continued to get paralyzed. And, yeah, that convention last year, there was, like, a lot of worldliness and levity. There was a lot of fun about it. And, you know, I'm grateful for that, you know, it reminds me of what the big book says on page 133, that we are sure that he wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. We cannot subscribe to the belief that this life is a veil of tears, though it once was just that for many of us. But it is clear that we made our own misery. So I'm really grateful for that lesson that I had last year, that, you know, I can do a 10 step on anything. It doesn't matter if I'm with the Pope or, you know, whoever, you know, the holiest person in the world, you know, I may need to do a 10 step on it. And I'm very grateful for that lesson that I have learned, and just grateful for, you know, this program and for all of you. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Christina L. Aaliyah S., please share with us.
Good morning. My name's Aaliyah S. in California. I just knew I had to get on the line this morning and share my experience with this sentence. It says, he could not or would not see our way of life. And faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. And I'm just terrified of this disease. And all of the addictions that I've worked steps and all the different programs, this one has me beat. And after 40 days of entire abstinence, committing my food every night, following it to a T, doing everything that my sponsor had asked, making 3 phone calls, taking notes, texting those notes at the end of the night with my committed food, meeting with her, reading the book, starting a 4-step, I came up against the sex inventory, and there was this one little part, and I just immediately hit a wall, and that was about a week ago, and I was unwilling to write on it. And I saw all my character defects come into play, my self-righteousness, my thinking that I know best, all my old ideas. And I just became unwilling. And so she said, you know, maybe take a day, let's go back to 1, 2, and 3, focus on that, and we'll continue. And that night I didn't send in my notes. I didn't send in my food. It was 2 days of that. Then I wasn't willing to call her. And you know, she let me go because I was unwilling to do the work, and I continue to use the tools of the program. However, if I'm not in the step work, it's about a matter of a half a day before the food thoughts come. And I haven't had any food thoughts this whole time. I've been given this gift. And last night I was on the couch and they came and they hit hard. And I'm terrified that after everything that this, you know, the first 3 steps and working half of a 4-step has shown me, you know, all the unmanageability of my life with my parenting, all the havoc I've wreaked in sobriety, 7 years of being sober, like having food to numb out, like, you know, taking away the food has been the hardest thing I've ever had to face and be uncomfortable tolerating the uncomfortable feelings of the trauma of, you know, my whole life and the grief of losing my husband and in sobriety and raising three kids and my finances and all of it, like being able to see all of it and knowing that if I go back, it's only going to get worse and that the only option is, you know, way out is through. Like I was going to throw that all away for a freaking cookie, you know? And it just terrified me because I was not able to see the difference from the truth and the false. And I somehow, maybe with the 2% amount of willpower that I have left, was able to go to bed abstinent last night. But I woke up this morning and I called her. She suggested I find another sponsor immediately and get back in the work. And that's what I wanted to say, that faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. Faith without works is dead. I can only go about a half a day without being in the work before I will perish and that the disease will win out. This is such a cunning, baffling, powerful disease, and I'm terrified of it. And with that, I just wanted to claim my seat and be a part of this fellowship because I know that you guys are on the other side of that wall, and I believe that if I do the work, I can be there too. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Aaliyah S. Please keep coming back. Okay, I'm now going to open the line for others who want to share. Who would like to share?
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Carrie W.
Carrie W.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Can you hear me?
Who is that?
Michelle J.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just waiting to see if anybody else wanted to share, Michelle.
Oh,
Mary?
Michelle G. Okay, that's another Michelle. And Elaine B. Okay, let's stop there. And we'll start with Michelle J. Please share with us.
Good morning, my lovely fellows. I am a recovered and recovering every day by the grace of God. My name is Michelle J. as in jewelry. I'm in Arkansas. And I've been listening all morning and didn't think I had a thing to say. But all of a sudden, the angle of this particular paragraph hit me in a very personal way. A lot of us are talking about us being in our cups, us being in our how that fourth step and that tenth step and how our own weaknesses come out, and that creates yuck. You know, it's yuck, okay? And we're ugly. But all of a sudden, I realized that I've been struggling lately. And the reason why I was struggling was because my husband is probably a foodaholic. And he probably, but he doesn't believe him, he doesn't understand program, he's not in program. But he's my husband. Therefore, he's in his cups all the time. And I realized that, you know, I've been just, emotions are starting to happen. I'm having a little bit of grudgingness. I'm becoming ugly, not because I'm in my cups, but because someone else is in their cups. Because somebody else is in their cups, and he is not a happy, he's not a nice person to be around. When people are in their cups, they are needy, they are up and down. They 1 minute have got the world like Bill, you know, by the tail, got the tiger by the tail. But the next minute they're crashing and burning, or suicidal, or into the drama, and it's horrible because I'm right there with it. Just like when we're working with people, it could be someone in our home, it could be ourselves. It doesn't. But when you're not working the program and you're in your cups, you're into the food, by gum, I can be an ugly person. But people in our lives can be ugly people, and it's hard, and we have to, I have got to, right now, go, okay, my goodness, I've got to put up some boundaries, I've got to talk to God, I've got to do a 10th step, I've got to work my problem and work it hard so that food doesn't call me. And so I just thought that was quite a twist that all of a sudden living with somebody who is in the cups, into the food, it's just, it's another part of life for me. And I've got to figure out how to work it, and I'll work the program with it, and I'll talk to my sponsor about it. I have this morning already. And do some writing about it. And with all of that, I'm sure that God will give me my answers and tell me how to traverse this. So anyways, with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Michelle J. Carrie W., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carrie W., recovered from Massachusetts. And I got so much out of these paragraphs here. And a couple of things stood out to me. You know, when I read it, it says a vast amount of fun about it all. I'm like, how can there be fun about it all? Like, I just didn't get that. And what that means to me is when I really think about it deep down is that, you know, we are very, very serious. We're deadly earnest, as it says in this paragraph. I mean, we have to work with others, and our life is very serious. If we don't work the steps, I mean, we don't recover. But having fun about it all, we can still be recovered and still have fun and have a life. I mean, it says, you know, we're in an amazing life now being recovered, and we can still have fun in our life and still be able to, you know, it's not like a Stepford Y, we have to be really strict. We do, however, we can have fun also. And it also struck me is that it says that simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself into a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now that, I mean, this means to me, it's our responsibility to pass on what we have. I mean, we are devoted to pass on what we have. And it also brings up the point to me too, is like, sometimes I think I'm not important and things I say just don't affect anybody. But look at this simple conversation with Ebby. I mean, and Bill, look where people are today because of that little, well, I guess it wasn't a little, but because of that conversation. So, you know, it makes me think things that I say and things that I do, people do pick up on, and, you know, it does influence others. So I just think, I just want to say about this, that it's our responsibility to pass it on. Thanks, I pass.
Thanks so much, Terry W. Mary G., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Mary G. in Chicago, Illinois. Thank you for your service. And yeah, what's sticking out here is this faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. You know, I'm fairly new to these Vision for You meetings, and this is one thing that is really, you know, sticking with me, this whole being others-centered and getting out of self and trusting in God. Previously when I worked my program, there were periods when I thought I could, you know, I could take the weekends off. I didn't have to do any sort of program work on the weekends, make any phone calls, talk to sponsees. And I've quickly learned that that's not how it is. I have to do this 24 hours a day. There's no breaks, you know, in prayer and working with others and, you know, just always working my program, doing 10 steps when they pop up and the things that I need to do to stay well. And then another part that sticks out here, you know, was this, I was thinking, he says, you know, each day my friend's simple talk in our kitchen, that simple talk in the kitchen. And as we know, you know, Bill, he knew he had to stop drinking. So he had the, you know, the whole allergy part of it kind of down. He knew that he had to stop. But the whole mental twist part, you know, the God, the spiritual part, yet he didn't have. And that simple talk with Ebby is, you know, when he found out about the God part of it all. And I'm so grateful, like, you know, the stars aligned and, you know, and he had it. And Bill accepted what Ebby had. Man, imagine if he didn't. Oh, where would we be? You know, still just battling the allergy, I guess, and not having the spiritual aspect of our program. So I'm so grateful how this has all worked out. And I will pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Mary G. Michelle G., please share with us. Press star one, Michelle G., to unmute. Okay, I don't know what happened to Michelle G., so we'll move on to Elaine B. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Kathy. I think Michelle G. may be there now. Are you there, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I don't know why I didn't hear you. Okay, Michelle, go ahead, please.
Oh, you didn't hear me because I wasn't saying anything. I wasn't sure I wanted to. But I've always loved vision, and I'm like working on day one today. Everything everyone has shared just gives me hope. I'm just at that place where it's like, oh, am I going to make it? But, you know, the big book is just so true in so many areas, you know. I'm one of those compulsive overeaters in my cups, and I'm an unlovely creature. But everything that everyone shares, always, always the service that you give, the devotion that's there to help another human being is what keeps me coming back. So that's all I got for today. But thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Michelle G., and I do hope you'll keep coming back. Elaine B., please share with us.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you for your service and everybody doing service. And yes, Michelle G., do keep coming back, and ditto that to anybody else who's out there that's suffering that isn't quite there. Please keep coming back because there is a solution. You know, we are unlovely creatures when we're in our cups. You know, we're doing our best to get what we want, but we don't have all the answers. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough, really, information. And so it can be challenging on both sides of the scale. Being somebody new, working with somebody who's telling you, do this, read this, you know, write that, look at this, or put that down. Or to be the one on the other side of that that's used to running the show and getting to decide what I eat, when I eat, how long I eat. And, you know, it's a challenging time, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. You know, I mean, he's saying there's a vast amount of fun about it all. Talk about being able to show up and be yourself, not be so distracted by the food that's in front of you that you can be present, that you can laugh, that you can hear the joke, that you don't think it's about you. And when you don't, when you feel that dis-ease and discomfort, this is where faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. You know, our problem isn't the food. The food is but a symptom. It lights up the fact that we are out of alignment with faith, that we are not having faith. And we get to hold on to, we learn as we move ahead, to grab, hold on to something that feels like a flimsy reed. What is this faith thing? What are you talking about? This cannot be possibly enough. It's a flimsy reed. But Bill and many others on this line have found that that is the powerful, loving hand of God that was able to pull us out of this pit. But the only way we don't fall back in is if we keep faith from working 24 hours a day, and that's the step work. That saying, wow, you know, I'm really restless, irritable, and discontent right now. What is going on with me? I broke all my buttons. You got a problem, you're upset with somebody, call Ben and Jerry. You know, you're not sure what to do, suck on some M&Ms, you know. An extra bite is going to fix that. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, the problem is still there. 20 seconds later, the problem is still there. But as we work these steps, we open to a widening circle of people we can process that with and to gain peace in ourselves, to go out and make amends, goodwill towards others. It wasn't your fault. I was disturbed. I was out of line. I'm really sorry. And it really is a life second to none. Please, please keep coming and do the work. And I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. We have time for at least one more share. Who would like to share?
Kathy Jo P.
Okay, Kathy.
Felicia S.
Okay, one second. Kathy Jo P. And who was the other?
Felicia S.
Okay, Felicia, we'll see if we have time. Thanks. Go ahead, Kathy Jo.
Kathy Jo P., recovered compulsive overeater here in Minneapolis. And what's coming up for me today is, where am I still in my cups? And for me, this disease is not about what I put on my plate or what I eat, but it's my thoughts, my actions, my feelings, that where I'm unrecovered. So, and I love what the previous speaker just said, you know, I'm going to say eating crow has no calories. And more and more and more that I can admit that I am wrong, can I be free? So today, what I'm working on, or not even working on, but growing towards with my God, is showing up in a different way, being willing to be of service, being willing to take one for the team. My old self never would have done that. I wanted to be right. I wanted to be best. I wanted to feel good. Now my goal is, what can I give to life rather than what can I get? And I'm going to keep it simple with that and pass so that maybe the other person can have a minute. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Kathy Jo P. And Felicia S., please take 2 minutes, okay? Felicia, press star 1 to unmute. I don't hear you, Felicia. Are you there? Okay, sorry.
Judith R.
Who is that, Judith?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yes.
Please take 2 minutes, Judith.
Thank you, Kathy. Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. The guy who committed suicide in their home, I read, I think it was in, must have been in Lois's remembrances, that Bill is so kind. He calls him the poor chap, but the poor chap had been stealing money from Bill and Lois to feed his gambling habit. And I'm just struck by Bill's lack of resentment and realizing that he was just a sick guy like me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Judith R., thank you all for being here. It's now time to close the meeting, and I want to say a special thank you to Laura R., Naomi B., Jody E., Robin P., Sherry M., Christina L., Leslie M., and Elaine B. for helping me lead this meeting today. And I would love, if you would like to please press star 1 to unmute so we can say the serenity prayer together. God.
God, I will, not my will, be done today and every day.
Amen.
I offer my life to you, Lord.
Thank you, everyone.